5. Your sister respects your dad. She also resents the fact that you have been preferred. Her jealousy takes a subtle form in this letter. Between the lines, she is registering a question. I love Dad and have tried to live so he could be proud to own me as his daughter. But I have had to content myself with the crumbs of his affection. Because it is you he loves, and why should it be so? Obviously, over the years, your dad has taken advantage of your sister's emotional nature via the mails. Painting a picture that justifies her opinion of him, an underdog cursed with an ungrateful son upon whom he has showered love and concern, only to be infamously treated by that son in return. On page 7, she says she is sorry that her letter must be censored. But she is really not sorry at all. She is glad it passes through a censor. Subconsciously, she has written it with the censor in mind, hoping to convey the idea that the Smith family is really a well-ordered unit. Please do not judge us all by Perry. About the mother kissing away her child's boo-boo. This is a woman's form of sarcasm. 6. You write to her because A. You love her after a fashion. B. You feel a need for this contact with the outside world. C. You can use her. Prognosis. Correspondence between you and your sister cannot serve anything but a purely social function. Keep the theme of your letters within the scope of her understanding. Do not unburden your private conclusions. Do not put her on the defensive, and do not permit her to put you on the defensive. Respect her limitations to comprehend your objectives, and remember that she is touchy towards criticism of your dad. Be consistent in your attitude towards her, and do not add anything to the impression she has that you are weak, not because you need her goodwill, but because you can expect more letters like this, and they can only serve to increase your already dangerous antisocial instincts. Finish. As Perry continued to sort and choose, the pile of material he thought too dear to part with, even temporarily, assumed a tottering height. But what was he to do? He couldn't risk losing the bronze medal earned in Korea, or his high school diploma, issued by the Leavenworth County Board of Education as a result of his having, while in prison, resumed his long-recessed studies. Nor did he care to chance the loss of a manila envelope fat with photographs, primarily of himself, and ranging in time from a pretty little boy portrait made when he was in the Merchant Marine, and on the back of which he had scribbled 16 years old, young, happy-go-lucky, and innocent, to the recent Acapulco pictures. And there were 60 other items he had decided he must take with him, among them his treasure maps, Otto's sketchbook, and 2 thick notebooks, the thicker of which constituted his personal dictionary, a non-alphabetically listed miscellany of words he believed beautiful or useful, or at least worth memorizing. Sample page. Thanatoid. Deathlike. Omnilingual. Versed in languages. Immerse. Punishment. Amount fixed by court. Nescient. Ignorance. Ficinerous, atrociously wicked. Hagiophobia, a morbid fear of holy places and things. Lapidicolous, living under stones, as certain blind beetles. Dyspathy, lack of sympathy, fellow feeling. Silifer, a fellow who fain would pass as a philosopher. Omophagia, eating raw flesh, the right of some savage tribes. Depredate, to pillage, rob, and prey upon. Aphrodisiac, a drug or the like which excites sexual desire. Megalodactylus, having abnormally large fingers. Mertophobia, fear of night and darkness.